Ezekiel Elliott. And he's got an opening. Elliott off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown.
Tie a three will win it. Sylvester for three. Oh! Oh! With 5.1 to go.
Here's Fields with time in the end zone.
A single season record of 14 set by Vernon Golston in 2000.
8 seconds to go. Kraft with Paolo defending. Now a switch off. He's got Niang on him with three. He better hurry. Puts up the shot. And he hits it with 0.2 seconds to go. Wow.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backboard. Turner across the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it just inside of half court.
They go for the ball game. Touchdown, Michael Jenkins on 4th and 1. Would you believe it? Craig Krenzel strikes with 1.5 minutes left. Holy Buckeye.
This is the Bunch of Nuts podcast featuring Dan Smith and Big Cass. Let's get nutty.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan, here with Big Cass, and today we have a very special guest. We have a huge member of probably the greatest linebacker trio in Ohio State history, former NFL player, and the owner of the Difference USA gym in Columbus, Ohio, Anthony Schlegel. It is great to have you today on the show.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
So first things first, I always ask our guests this, and it's a simple question. What does it mean to be a Buckeye?
That's a really good question. Part about being a Buckeye, first thing that comes to my mind is the brotherhood of it. When I chose Ohio State after I left the Air Force Academy, I chose it really for the guys, right? So coming from the academy, there is no better brotherhood in all of college football than that of the academies. Then when you go looking for, what's kind of a 1A, right, along with a coaching staff, it was hands down Ohio State. When I met AJ and Bobby when I was on campus, I was like, these dudes are just like me, you know. They love to train. They love to watch film. They love practice. They want to get better. They want to compete. And they always had my back. I was like, you know what? That's where I'm going. You copulate that with, Jim Tressel, Mark D'Antonio, Luke Fickell, Coach Haycock, like all these guys that were there when I played, just unbelievable men. That was the most similar to what I experienced when I was at the Air Force Academy. So, it goes far beyond your time in the Ohio State football program, right? It's now that I'm 39 and all the other guys, like Bobby's from Lancaster, right? That's kind of down the road, but not really. AJ's from Dayton. James Laurinaitis is from Minnesota, right? You have all these guys, though, that now come back and want to give back to the community of Columbus, Ohio, doing philanthropic work and helping other people and using their voice and their platform for a variety of different reasons. But that's what you do. And so it's well beyond just the 4 years that you're at Ohio State. It's really for life.
Absolutely. Quick fun fact. I live in Lancaster. I'm from Bern Union. And Bobby's defensive coordinator in high school was my head coach. Yeah, so that's I remember Bobby coming down and talking to the little kids during the little camp. So it was really special, especially being from Bobby's hometown, and him being a legend down here is awesome.
Absolutely. He's the best. I work out with him every morning. It's fun.
Now, Anthony, you're really big, obviously, on working out and your gym and everything. I just want to ask, what was your career best squat and bench?
Well, I don't own a gym, right? So I have equipment in there, but it's stuff that I invent, right? So I'm more of an entrepreneur in the fact that I got two patents And I just create solutions for strength conditioning and the game of football and other sports. But being said, best ever squat was probably 635.
Wow.
Bench, probably like 415. I wasn't really a big bencher. You know, I mean, Bobby could probably have done 450 when we were in college. Deadlift was my thing. Deadlift, my best ever deadlift was 750. So
that's incredible. I don't know how anyone can humanly do that. I remember my best bench might have been, I did 225 for like 9 reps. I could never break the 10 threshold. It's good. It's good. But that's incredible. And then obviously you were, you know, an assistant strength coach at Ohio State. Obviously now, you know, times are unprecedented. How do you think Coach Mick is keeping everyone in shape now just with working? Well, in February that everyone was working from home, everyone's now back on campus. But how do you think they adopted to that?
Well, I mean, you know, adapt or die, right? So basically the hardest thing is not everybody has the same type of equipment, but you have a budget and automatically you're like, okay, what do guys need while they're at home? Well, things that they can all do, band work, right? TRX work, regardless of weights. I mean, if you think about how we all grew up playing sports, I mean, it wasn't really the weight room. I started going to the weight room probably earlier than other people, but I mean, there's a lot of body weight, you know, things that you can do on your own. The biggest thing to get guys acclimated to when they come back is being in shape. And guess what? Everybody can find a field to run on. You know what I'm saying? So that's probably the single biggest thing they probably harped on was returning in shape, right? But as far as like a workout routine, they 100% catered it to what the guys had, right? Like they could take a snapshot of, hey, here's my weight room. Boom. They modify our workout and you got to keep them safe, right? So do they have a spotter? Do they not have a spotter? Right? Do they have equipment? Do they not have equipment? You know, where are they logistically, right? Like all these different things come into play. So now the hardest thing is you got 5 full-time coaches basically writing up 120 different strength conditioning workouts for their kids from March until they return back to Ohio State this last month. And then once they get them in, now it's a more difficult proposition because you're only allowed to train 9 guys at a time. Right. So now it's really operations and logistics. Mm-hmm. How do I run a group of 9? How do they run them on the field? How do they go into the weight room? How do they go to their meeting room? How do they exit the building? Right. And that's honestly, Coach Mick is why I actually not got out of the profession, but he pushed me to get an MBA because I saw and he saw the strength conditioning profession going to, I'm sorry, I'm trying to get my screen. So I'm in my truck because we have no Wi-Fi. It's off. But that's what it is, right? You're the chief operating officer for Ohio State Football, LLC. And so logistically, you have to work all these different things with the resources that you have. Now, to Ohio State's credit, they got the best in the country, right? And they got the best strength staff in the country. So I'm not necessarily worried about our guys in training and coming in shape. The biggest thing that they're going to have to overcome is the soft tissue injuries and the ligaments and tendons when they return to play and how fast their return to play is, right? So you don't need to win, you know, the first game is September, July 2nd, right? You need to win it on September 1st,
yeah.
Right? So you're going to have this buildup and this slow progression, oozing guys back in to drills and contact and full-time practice and training. So, but if there's no way better in the country than Coach Mick and his staff doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. So I have a question with you, Hawk and Carpenter. What made you guys the greatest trio? And you guys had different aspects to the game at the linebacker position. Especially you had a young guy in James Laurinaitis right behind you guys too. Talk about that, and then talk about your first thoughts on James Laurinaitis.
Well, James is. This is a little bit better. All right, there you go. So James, just unbelievable human, great man, man of faith, got 2 girls, you know, came in and just wanted to learn, you know. And then in that last game, that's kind of what Ohio State has done, right? You've seen this with the recruiting. And James was a 5-star type guy anyways, but he should have been. But, you know, when called upon, he responded. And he responded in that Michigan game by going out there and replacing Bobby after the first play of the game, just throwing right into the fire. But he was prepared, right? He wanted that. He was always in the film room, and we brought him in, him and Marcus Freeman. like, hey, this is how we watch film. Hey, Nate Salley, Dante Whitner, secondary, this is how we watch film. We're watching film together. So the young guys got to see how we talk ball and what are the things that we look for. Then you look at AJ, Bobby, and myself. And the beauty of us three was that we were all very, very different, right? We all studied the game. We all trained extremely hard together, but yet we had different attributes that I think we all played upon each other, right? So AJ, freak of an athlete, specimen, right? More instinctual, you know what I mean? And he's a guy that at that time... Okay. Nice job, bro. All right, well, I can't wait. As soon as this is done, I will go see it. All right, so that was my 8-year-old just
awesome. Got it right there.
Yeah, big time ball going on down here.
Yeah.
Happy forward. Let's go. Anyways, I don't know where he got the bullet from. I don't know. He must have shot with his pellet rifle. Anyway.
I love it.
So, yeah, that's going to be great on the podcast. Anyway.
That's going to be hilarious.
So, you know, but then you look at, like, you know, people don't realize this, but in 2005, we played a ton of nickel. And why do we play a ton of nickel? Well, because Bobby lined up as a defensive end. You had me and AJ inside. You had Dante Whitner playing our nickel back spot, right? But he could still play the run. And then, so you take all those different attributes, right? Bobby could play a Sam linebacker, set the edge. We ran an under front, 9 technique. He could rush the passer. Boom. Now he's playing a 5 technique, stand up or hand in the ground. AJ and myself do what we do. But then even myself, and this is what Bobby and I talked to the linebacker group this year, it's you got to know yourself, right? So just taking a snapshot of me, right? 6'1", at that time, 245, way too heavy, probably should have been 230. You know, my attributes are anticipation and reaction, right? So I studied the film. I relied upon what I saw in film study just as much as what I relied on in the field. I can know, okay, hey, they line up in this personnel. Here's where the back is. Here's where the tight end is. I'm looking at the splits of the offensive lineman. Boom, just like that. I know that they can only run one play to my right side. Well, guess what? I know I can get there. So I'm going to move over to my left because I know the majority of the plays that I'm going to see out of this formation are going to happen to the left. So I'm going to put myself in the best position possible. Same thing for James. James did that too. I mean, James and I are very similar in athleticism, you know, high 4'7", 4'8 guy, but yet you can play football, right? So, I mean, it takes everybody, but everybody feeding off of what we all add to the table, you know, of what we bring to the table to make the best defense possible, right? Mm-hmm. And if that meant me going blowing up a guard in the center so AJ can wrap around and get a sack, man, I did my job, man. And we had the best rush defense in the country that year.
Absolutely. That was awesome. I mean, especially the Fiesta Bowl, AJ's little brother-in-law. that was cool. I talked to Brady. Yeah. I did a little internship with Fox Sports this year, and I was talking to Brady about that and joking around. And he had a good chuckle about that.
Oh, yeah.
So, Anthony, obviously, you know, you've been a hard hitter. I just want you to reflect back on your career, not including the fan. Who is the hardest hit you've ever laid on someone?
Oh, I probably offensive lineman. I remember when I was in the league, I was on, you know, you got jacked up, you know?
Oh yeah.
I ran down to kickoff and blew somebody up. You know, that was one. Yeah. You know what? It's weird though. Like in your career, you never really remember the good, right? You always remember the bad.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember Texas of 05. I remember Penn State of 05. I remember Iowa at Iowa in 04. We got the brakes beat off us. You know, like you remember those games, right? Like you, I don't really remember the big hits. I do remember how, you know, years later, Kurt Martin came up like, man, you had the hardest skull of anybody I ever had to block. And I was like, awesome. Like, that's one of the best compliments.
So how would you fit in Al Washington's system? And do you see Tough Borland as a little Anthony Schlegel? Cause that's who I think on this linebacker room, Tough Borland reminds me a lot of you when you played.
Yeah. Tough and I are very similar in our styles, right? I mean, Tough has great anticipation. He understands the defense. I mean, he's you know, the Mike linebacker prototypically is the guy that sets the stage, right? He's the quarterback of the defense, and you're calling out the front, and you're getting guys lined up, and you're able to come off the field and communicate to the defense coordinator exactly what you're seeing. And, yeah, so Tuff really is – Tuff and I are very similar in the way that we play. And I tell you what, I mean, he's done a phenomenal job. And looking back even at last year, like, I think he's going to have a great senior season because he's finally healthy. I mean, I remember even myself, my junior year at Ohio State, I tore my MCL like a – you know, what I don't know what degree. But, I mean, probably shouldn't have played on it. Played on it for six games wearing a Don Joy knee brace. You're not going to look as fast. I mean, he had an Achilles tendon that he came back in after 6 months. I mean, you're going to be somewhat limited.
Yeah.
But guess what? He was still out there, right? Meaning that they trusted him. You know what I mean? And then you take like a Pete Werner. Pete has a really hard job. People don't realize the fact that I think he's given up one touchdown in like 700-something attempts, you know, or something crazy like that.
He's incredible in coverage, too.
Yes, he really is, man. I mean, the fact, like, they'll put him man-to-man on the slot. People don't realize that, right? And then he played against, I believe last year, I think it was Wisconsin, had a really good tight end. Pete did a phenomenal job on him, right? And the fact that our guys are kind of interchangeable. And then you have a guy like Barrett Browning, who really is more of a pass rusher, outside linebacker type because he's so long. But then they bring him into the middle and let him do some different things. I mean, this year, I think he's going to evolve more into that Malik Harrison type. But they have an outstanding linebacking core. And Al's done a really phenomenal job. I mean, I go back to 3 years ago when all those guys were sophomores and freshmen. And I'm like, listen, stop talking bad about the linebacking core. When you're 18 to 22 years old, right, dudes do what they're coached to do, right? And now you look at them and – they had the best defense in the country for a reason. You know?
Pete Werner shows too, because a lot of people said Pete Werner had an awful 2018 season. He completely 180 and had one of the best seasons in 2019. People say, oh yeah, he blew a coverage against Michigan. No, he didn't blow that coverage. He had great closing speed on that tight end down the seam. It was just the Jordan Fuller misread it. If you look at the film.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, cover three, I don't remember what that particular play. But, I mean, you know, looking at Pete, looking at the linebackers, looking at what Al has done, but really, you know, it's Coach Madison, right? I mean, it's kind of his system along with Larry Johnson, and now Kerry Combs is back in the mix, and all those guys collectively, Coach Barnes, like all those guys collectively, you know, this is what I think Bill Belichick does at an elite level. He knows the personnel. He knows the talent. He knows the strengths and the weaknesses of each individual player. And so he's going to play to their strengths versus what the offense is presenting, right? And that's really what they've done. They simplified it and say, guess what? We're going to rely upon you guys to go out there and make plays. And that's what they did last year. And you couple that with a pass rush where you only got to rush four and you don't have to blitz all the time, and what Larry Johnson has been able to do up front, I mean, they're set up for success for the long haul. And the cool thing is you're getting now recruits that want to come in and compete because they understand I don't have to be a 4-year, 3-year, you know, even 2-year starter, right? I can be a 1-year starter, have a phenomenal season, add value through my career and go to the league. And it correlates because I know how to handle my business. I know the routine. I know how to train. All these different things come into play, and guess what? You can go and have a really good career the next level.
Yeah, that's a great point. I guess another question is just the fact that, you know, we obviously have three huge linebackers this year with Tuff Borland, Pete Werner, Barron Browning. But what about a guy like Taraja Mitchell? How do you think he can get in the mix? Because I personally see him potentially like maybe rushing the passer a little bit. I think maybe he should almost switch a little bit to edge or something like that. I know it might seem kind of out of place, but when I look at him, I'm like, maybe they should try and have him like blitzing a little more. So he's like that.
No, I really think he's probably more of an inside guy because I don't know how tall he is. But that doesn't really matter either, right? I mean, it's all going to be predicated upon the different packages and personnels that they get from the teams that they play. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really what's going to dictate everything. Just like we saw last year when they're like, oh, man, we're going to have this bullet position, right? But what did Pete do? Pete eliminated the bullet position.
Yeah, gone.
That's what it was.
And he sent the one kid to Rutgers.
which is, you know what, which is good because he's going to play and he can, Brandon White, he can play ball. He was kind of that tweener between a safety and a linebacker, and it really didn't fit in Ohio State and what they were doing. So guess what? He should go transfer and get an opportunity to go play. But Pete really did that because, hey, man, I don't have to take this linebacker off the field, right? The more things that you can do and more packages that you can be in and add more value, I mean, the better it is for everybody, right? So, you know, looking at Taraji Mitchell, like, what's his fit? I don't know. And I tell you what, this is kind of the beauty of COVID because there was no spring. So it's going to be whoever is the most prepared for the base, right? And, and shows consistently what they can do to where, I mean, I tell my kids this all the time, like, you have to go leave no doubt that you cannot come off the field, right? Regardless, that's baseball, football, basketball, rep. Like, you can't, I cannot take this kid off. Right? Like, that's your job, right? But how do you do that? By being consistent, by being coachable, right? And we're presented with the opportunity, you got to go make the play. And that's kind of the beauty of COVID, because when they go to camp, there's going to be limited amounts of opportunity. So it's going to be the dudes that can understand all the things that they've been putting in during this time on Zoom and go out there and execute real time, you know, come fall camp.
Absolutely. I know you're compressed with time, so two quick questions here. I got to ask this, man. I'm sure you get this a lot. Take us through the moment when you rock bottom the student, and how did Urban react? I want to know how Urban reacted to that.
Yeah. So, you know, here's a story about that. Like, so people don't realize this, but at that time I was probably 34, 33 years old. I was in my fourth semester. So like I did, like, I don't remember. It was the fall semester. I graduated with my MBA in that following May. So I got one more semester to go. I'm taking three classes at night, right? So I'm in the Woody at 4:30 in the morning. I'm going to class at 6 o'clock at night. I get done at 9:30. I go home. I study. I wake up. I do it all over again. Last thing I want to do is go tackle somebody running onto the field. But I had the worst job in America. The worst job in America in college athletics is 1A worst job is the strength coach that has to tell people to get back. To get back, coach. Awful job. Awful. All you do is yell, get back, for 3 hours. It's horrendous, right? The number one worst job in America is the strength coach who's responsible for the special team substitutions. I mean, if you think about that, how stupid is that? I'm not in any of the meetings. Right. When it comes to and on game day, I get this booklet and they have 13 different punt blocks, all with a different color. Right. There's black, white, brown, fuchsia, turquoise. Like, I don't even know. They all have different personnel and you got to go out there. So I remember vividly because it was second down and I was worried about getting my face melted off by Urban Meyer that our punt team wasn't out there because we almost had one and I had to go find the guy. I found the guy like, in time, you know, anyways. So I'm counting up my dudes on offense, and they were all on the field on second down. I'm like, okay, I know where they are. I'll call up punt on third down. Those are my defensive guys. Boom, no problem. Then I saw this fan. And I couldn't even have told you if it was a dude, what color they were. Like, I didn't know. But I just saw somebody running toward us through the middle of the play. I looked over at Coach Mick. He looked at me. I looked back. I look back at him, and I swear he gave me one of these, like, you know, the eyebrow. Like, what are you going to do?
He gave me the look. He knew.
He gave me the eyebrow, man. And, I mean, you know, and I wrestled my entire life going into college. I'm like, okay. You know, I mean, it didn't take much to the switch. And then I just went out there and lateral dropped him. You know, it wasn't like I tried to kill the guy. But lateral dropped him, got him off the field. Funny sidebar story is to him off that. I had one kid that it was so difficult for me to train him. But after I did that, he was a joy to train. It was like, I don't know, man. I just, like, yeah, Coach Slater, you're the guy. And then the second one was I went to my MBA class the following day or whenever the week was. And they gave me a, you know, standing round of ovation. I'm like, all right, let's go. And then I was in there, and I thought about my umbrella policy, right, just to make sure, you know, if I slam this guy, like we had insurance that covered us from back when I was playing the league. And my wife called up our insurance company at the time and was like, hey, I just wanted to check on a policy. It's like, oh, Mrs. Schlegel, we've been expecting this call. Are you talking about your husband's on the field activities? How do you know? Like, oh yeah, you guys are covered.
You know? That's incredible. That might be the greatest story I've heard. Oh my gosh. My last question for you, Anthony, is just, I ask every guest this, what has football taught you in your life?
Oh man, that's a lot. You know, football's really taught me, you know, number one thing that I teach my kids, right? Football, no, hang on, buddy, hang on. Football's all about attitude and effort. That's life, you know? I mean, do you come in every day with a great attitude, a joyful heart, servant's mentality? Do you give great effort, right? Mm-hmm. In the weight room, at practice, watching film. Attitude and effort is something that I take into being, you know, an entrepreneur. I took into getting an MBA. I take into, you know, how I create different products and invent and different things now. But attitude and effort, toughness. And toughness is more than, you know, growing up and you're in high school and you think it's a physical thing, it's a fighting thing, and it's not, man. Toughness is so much more being mentally, physically, and emotionally, spiritually tough for different events that happen in your life and how you respond. And football is a great educator of that, right? It's a great educator of being accountable. It's a great educator of attitude, great educator in competitive excellence, right? We're in business. You guys are doing the podcast. There's everybody out there that's trying to do some things, but you love and enjoy competing at a high level, 100%, right? Effort and toughness, all those different things go into football, they go into the weight room, they go into life. And it's why I think it's just one of the greatest sports out there. And, you know, my oldest doesn't play it because he's more of a baseball, you know, fisherman type guy. Mm-hmm. My youngest, he loves physical contact. Well, guess what? He's going to play football. But even in the other sports, like, they're learning those things and they're invaluable because at some point there's always going to be somebody else competing for your job. You know, there's always somebody bigger, faster, stronger. So I have to be doing more work, out preparing them, working on the fundamentals, working on my craft. So when called upon, I can respond. And that's what football does.
Love the answer. I love it. Anthony, thank you so much for coming on with us. I know, you got to handle some raccoons and everything out there. I appreciate you having us on. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you guys. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.